Welcome, everyone. Welcome back for another installment of Half Hour Lemon Abner episodes.
Today's feature is Trying to Buy Property from April 12, 1950.
This is your host, Keith, and I may be visited in a little bit to have an article read to us
from the Retrobots.
Once again, by our good friend, Uncle Donnie Pitchford, a president at the National Lemon Abner Society.
LemonAbnerSociety.org.
Check it out. Check out all the cool stuff regarding Lemon Abner there. Today's episode is going to be about real estate. And I don't know if they've ever done a story arc quite like this in their 15-minute days, because they're looking for a new place to put the Jot 'Em Down store. I don't know that they had done that in their 15-minute days. Now, the other element of the story is they kind of get hoodwinked by an old friend who is going to try to scam them out of their money for some property. Now, the thing about the half-hour shows is that Squire Skimp wasn't in it, so they kind of invented this new old friend that Lemons had. Who has done them dirty in the past. But with that said,
look, it's him. Uncle Donnie is coming.
Quick, run and hide.
What?
Just kidding. My turn to get the door.
Oh, hey, I think here comes our good friend Donnie Pitchford. Let's open the door and welcome him in.
Me. I got it. Welcome, Uncle Donnie.
Hey, is that two articles you have there?
Why don't you go ahead and step up to the mic and read that to us?
I can hardly wait.
On page 6 is Memories of Lemon Abner, and of course we will present this in the voice of Mr. Hartzell himself as recorded at the 1985 convention.
I'm very pleased to present the voice of Mr. Clarence Hartzell himself in 1985 on June the 15th, speaking into the very microphone I'm using now. Mr. Hartzell and his memories of Lemon Abner.
I want to say that I really appreciated the opportunity to work for the boys. They were wonderful people to work for, and it was great fun working with them. Things went on in the show that you wouldn't believe. They didn't believe in any rule book. Of course, didn't go by any rules. And this would come out while the show was even on the air. We had it understood between us all that anybody could leave the script, if he had an idea, could leave the script and ad-lib, and the others would come in and back him up. But when he was through, when he got his idea across, he would have to get back into the continuity in such a way that it was not obvious that anybody had left. And that made it very interesting. One day, Tuffy got a very important telephone call right at showtime when we were ready to go on the air. And he went out in the hall to the payphone out there to take the call. And that left Chet and I in the studio to do the show. We had already rehearsed it, and we were all set to go on the air. In fact, they did put the show on the air. The announcer introduced Lemon Abner, and here we were. No Tuffy. And Tuffy was a vital member of the cast for this particular script. So Chet and I started ad-libbing, and we ad-libbed. This was on a national network without continuity for over 4 minutes. And people couldn't understand how we could do that. The secret was that we tried to understand each other and to anticipate each other's offerings, and we were able to work very, very close together, which made it fun. Well, when Tuffy got through with his call, he came back in, sat down, picked up his script, and Chet got us back into the continuity, and away we went. Of course, that set the director of the show screaming, because he had about 4 minutes of time on that show that he wasn't supposed to have. So on a case like that, he'd grab his pencil and go around and block out things on people's scripts while they were holding and talking to him, which made it a little bit nerve-wracking. Raj, do you remember the day that you all went away and left me asleep in the studio, in the office?
Happened all the time.
Their office was fixed like a living room of a house, and they had a kitchen. You could go back to the refrigerator and get whatever you'd want, fix yourself a snack if you want to, or have a drink or anything. And I used to sit in a easy chair there. We had a script conference every week for a couple hours in the afternoon, and we'd discuss what the way the plot was going to turn. Somebody would maybe bring in a new plot that would last for 6 or 8 weeks. Well, this didn't take long because the boys were the type, they could recognize something good when they saw it. They'd say, okay, let's do that, let's do that, do that. And then they'd start talking about, Abner had a ranch up in Northern California. He liked to go duck hunting. Chet had some race horses, and they liked to take trips when they could get away, and they'd get to talking about other things, and I'd sit there and in that warm California sun and go to sleep. Well, this one day, I did, and the secretary asked Lum if she should wake me. He said, no, just let him sleep. So everybody left, and I'm sitting there in the office all by myself, sound asleep until about 6 o'clock. They were very kind, very giving, and really wonderful people, and I'm glad to be part of their memorial. Thank you.
And that was the voice of the wonderful Mr. Clarence Hartzell in June 1985. How blessed we were to have these fine gentlemen and their wives with us for the very first convention of the National Lum and Abner Society. I'm certainly thankful. The photograph that accompanies this is once again in the motel room at Mina's Harvey House Motel, room 55, where all the action took place. Clarence is marking his script during the rehearsal, sitting behind the Shure 55S microphone, which is resting on top of an International Paper Company box, which I apparently brought some items in. No doubt got that at the old printing company, Duplicating Services Company, when I worked there. Clarence has his left hand cupped to his left ear, listening to a recording we were playing and smiling, thoroughly enjoying this moment.
Thanks for that article from the April 1988 John M. Down Journal.
Page 6, Lum and Abner in the News, reprints of past Lum and Abner articles. Medal of Merit, a weekly award for excellence in broadcasting, awarded to Lum and Abner. Radio Guide, December 4th, 1937. Lum and Abner's method of selecting a theme song is as typical of them as their own fingerprints. They needed a theme, so they went into a music store and asked to hear some records. One was the song Eleanor, and they simply liked it. No fuss, no consulting of musical nabobs who would attempt to catch the vibration of their personalities and match it with melody and counter-melody. An ordinary music store was all these very ordinary but quite remarkable fellows needed. Chester Locke and Norris Goff are two young men from Mena, Arkansas, who have made good. The world, however, knows them better as a couple of other fellows, and then some. Chester Locke, who is tall and spry, and also Lum Edwards, likewise plays Grandpappy Spears, Snake Hogan, Cedric Weehunt, Butch Dolan, Oscar Fields, Dan Davis, Frank Foster, Clarence O. Willoughby, and the presiding judge and defense counsel in whatever courtroom scenes are required. Norris Goff, who's short and dapper, is heard as Abner Peabody. He also takes the parts of Dick Huddleston, Squire Skimp, Mose Moots, Caleb Weehunt, Lord Cholmondeley, and a half-dozen incidental male characters. In their many roles and in their wisdom, they have treated the radio audience to some profound remarks. Listeners still recall Lum's famous comments on Friends.
"We always figured," he stated, "that if a feller would choose his friends the way he chooses his britches, there'd be fewer rips in friendship and no patches on the seat of his wisdom." Back in Mena, Arkansas in 1930, today's amazingly successful Lum and Abner were employed respectively by a local finance company and a wholesale grocery. They did not know that a neighboring hamlet would change its name from Waters to Pine Ridge. They did not know that they would sign a contract which would pay them $355,500 for slightly more than 2 years of radio work. Nor did they know they would live in Hollywood on magnificent estates and have for friends the star-spangled celebrities of the screen and radio. Certainly they did not foresee that their radio fame would become so great that their listeners would demand of Radio Guide that the Medal of Merit be awarded to them. But the boys have made good. Because they have, because in their whole radio careers their programs have never stooped to the use of off-color words or meaning, because they please a huge and growing army of listeners, we award to Lum and Abner and their broadcast for the Horlicks Corporation Radio Guide's Medal of Merit. With the article, we have a photograph of the medal. We have a small photo of Chester Locke with the cut line, "Chester Locke, tall, spry, is Lum." And on the lower right-hand corner, Norris Goff, short, dapper, is Abner.
Well, I thank you very much, Uncle Donnie Pitchford.
Thanks for stopping by.
See you next week.
And we will turn to the show right now. And this is where I say take it away, Retrobots.
Here's Lum and Abner from April 12, 1950, trying to buy property.
The Lum and Abner Show. With your old friends, Zazu Pitts, Andy Devine, Cliff Arquette, Jim Packett, music by Opie Case, and starring Lum and Abner. Lum and Abner will be with us in just a moment, but first, a short message from the Ford dealers of America.
Owners everywhere are talking about the economy of the 50 Ford. Listen to what Mr. Jacob N. Wade of Lyndhurst, Virginia, one of over 420,000 delighted owners, said about his new Ford.
In these days when the cost of everything is up, it's certainly great to own a 50 Ford. For I found that my new Ford V8 gives me everything I'd expect to find in an expensive car for amazingly little money. And in addition to being a low-cost car to buy, I find my Ford is mighty economical to own. I get 20 miles to a gallon and spend very little for upkeep. My money sure goes a lot further since I've owned a 50 Ford.
Yes, Ford owners everywhere are finding out about the economy of the great new Ford. They're saving real money now because of Ford's low price. And they'll be saving real money for years to come because of Ford's low operating and maintenance cost. But see for yourself. Tomorrow, stop by your neighborhood Ford dealers. Get the facts on Ford economy. Then take the wheel and test drive the big new Ford.
And here they are, your old favorites, Lum and Abner.
Abner, will you come over here and help me put this sign on the door?
Why, sure, Lum.
Just hold this nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
Lum, suppose you hold a nail in place while I whack it with a hammer.
You think I'm crazy?
The trouble here is we're suffering from an oversupply of whackers.
Have you ever seen me hit anybody on the thumb with a hammer?
Yes. Last summer when Opie Cates helped you put up the screens.
That was just a little tap.
Tap? You smacked that thumb so flat it looked like he's carrying around a pancake flipper.
Why, he didn't even holler.
He let out such a beller all the fellas at the sawmill knocked off for lunch.
You stop exaggerating and hold that nail. Thanks.
Lum. You couldn't hit that nail no matter if your whole life depended on it.
Oh, now, be quiet.
Huh?
Just
this
hold...
is my page-slipping finger here, Lum. Be
just
careful.
Hold the nail in place. Okay, here goes. There. Now, how was that?
Not bad. Just aim it 2 more feet to the left, and I think you'll have it.
Trouble is, the top of the nail is too small.
You couldn't drive that nail if I stuck it in between my teeth and let you hit me on the back of the head.
Don't give me any ideas. Now, just hold it in place. This time, I'll keep my eyes open.
Good. I think one of us ought to know what's going on.
You ready, huh?
Yeah.
Here it goes.
Oh, you idiot. Why don't you watch what you're doing?
Abner Peabody, I didn't even touch that hand.
I know you didn't. You got the one I had in my pocket.
Never mind. I'll just set the sign in the window.
Yeah, set it there. Look better. Hey, wait a minute. Store for sale.
Yeah, yeah. I decided we better sell this place, Abner, and move to a new location.
Now, wait just a minute, Lum. We ain't moving.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, we ain't.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, we ain't.
Oh, no, we ain't.
Oh, yes, we are.
You listen to reason. Now start packing.
Now wait, Lon. We've been in this location for 40 years. I don't see no sense in moving just when folks is beginning to know where we're at.
Well, 40 years ago, this was all right. We was in the heart of town then. But the heart is moved. We ain't in it no more.
What if we ain't in the heart of town, where are we?
Well, I don't know, but the way business has been lately, I got a pretty good idea.
I still don't think we ought to move.
We've got to. This street is dead. All the traffic is now 2 blocks over on the state highway.
What state highway?
The 4-lane super speed highway they put through in 1923.
They did?
Kitty's sakes, Abner, didn't you know that?
Mom, I got more to do than go around looking for state highways. Besides, you're the one that's always bringing in the news. Why didn't you tell me about it?
Just find out about it yesterday myself.
Well, I still say this location is good enough for me.
Abner, don't you understand that things are changing? The town's been moving east.
It has?
Why, sure.
Didn't it like it over here?
The town has moved east, and we ain't moved with it.
Well, how could we? We didn't know it was going anywhere.
Look, Abner, I ain't got time to explain this to you. We've got to get out and look for a good location. Now, come on.
Yeah, well, wait now, Lum. I better lock up the cash drawer first.
No, don't bother. Maybe somebody will feel sorry for us and leave something in it. Come on, let's go.
Doggies, Lum, ain't this kind of fur out in the country for a store?
Well, we gotta be farsighted about this.
Well, our customers are gonna have to be farsighted, too, or they'll never find us.
We don't have any competition out here.
Or any business. Is there wild animals around here?
Of course not. We ain't but 2 or 3 miles.
Hi, Doggies, wait a minute. Look there. Look in them bushes. A hippopotamus, Lum. A rhinoceros.
Andrew, get down. I can't hold you in my arms like this.
Doggy's a talking rhinoceros.
Hiya, feller.
Oh, my goodness, that's Andy Devine.
Hey, have you saw a bunch of little kids anyplace? I've organized a Cub Scout pack, and I can't find them nowhere.
Oh, my goodness, are they lost?
No, I am.
Well, the town's just over that hill there, Andy, but ain't you worried about them youngins running around loose?
Oh, I don't think they'll do much damage.
Well, you better get back to them.
Yeah, all right. Hey, and say, if you see Miss Pitts in town, tell her we're going to have a membership meeting in the church basement late this afternoon.
Miss Pitts? Is she joining the Cub Scouts?
Yeah, she's agreed to be our den mother.
Miss Pitts? A mother? Doggies, how come her to take up scout work?
Well, she said she wanted to learn all that stuff, not tying.
Yeah, I know who she's got in mind for that.
Woodcraft and trailing wild game.
Well, she's way ahead of them on that last one. She just about had Lum treed 3 or 4 times.
Hey, she's beginning to make me nervous. Wish she'd stop going around singing that wild goose cry.
Say, would you fellas help me round up them young'uns?
Well, we'd like to, Andy, but we're out looking for a new location for the store. Have you saw any good-looking property?
That's cheap.
Well, I think there's a new subdivision going in just east of town near the river. I seen them planting a lot of trees there.
Goodness, that's right where we want to be. Who's in charge of it, do you know?
Yeah, now, he's putting in a little office across from my barber shop. I believe his name is F.W. Randolph.
Randolph. Uh-huh. Goodness, that sounds familiar. Abner, do you recollect anybody by that name?
Is he a tall, good-looking feller married to a woman named Agnes that run off with a paper hanger with 8 kids in Milwaukee?
No.
Just a shot in the dark.
Come on, we don't care who he is. Let's get over there and start talking business.
Coming in the store for, Lum. I thought we was going over to see that Mr. Randolph.
Well, we can't now. I just recollected who that feller is. Frank W. Randolph's an old, old friend of mine.
Well, that's good, ain't it?
No, no, it ain't. Frank Randolph used to spend 3/4 of his time studying up ways to gyp me.
Well?
One time he sold me a half interest in an avocado factory.
Avocado factory?
Yes.
Was you dumb? They don't even make them things anymore, do they?
Another time he wanted to sell me a third interest in a Panama hat factory.
Huh.
But this time I was going to be smart. I told him I wanted to look the place over before I put my money in it.
Good for you.
So Frank said, sure, come on, we'll drive you out and see it. We went out in the country and he stopped at a big lake and he said, well, there it is. And I said, where? He said, right there. They weave these Panama hats underwater.
Well, now, I have heard of that.
I said, I don't believe it. He said, all right, slip off your britches and dive in and see for yourself. So that's just what I done.
My dog is, I'm proud of you, Lum.
Yes, sir, I swam around and couldn't see a dad blame thing. And when I come up, I discovered Frank had run off with my britches and my wallet.
Maybe this would be a good chance to get him back from him.
No, no, it ain't safe for me to go near him. He'd gyp me again, just sure as the world.
What?
Of course, now, there is one way we could deal with him. We could set up a dummy corporation.
A dummy corporation?
Yeah.
My doggies, I know just the man for president of it.
Oh, no, it can't be me. It's got to be some other dummy.
Wait a minute, I think I see just the fellow we're looking for. Old gossip monger Arquette.
Howdy, fellas.
Yeah, howdy, Cliff. We were just talking about you.
About me? Well, hurry up and tell it. I ain't heard any interesting gossip all day.
Well, Cliff, we was wondering if you'd head up a dummy corporation to handle a transaction for us.
Well, I doubt if I'll have time, Lum. I just started working as a census taker.
Well, that don't take all your time, does it?
Well, it does if you do a thorough job like I'm doing. I ask them how many kids they got, what does their husband do, how much does he make a week, who he's been running around with lately.
Well, what does a government want to know that for?
They don't. I just slipped that one in myself.
Well, Cliff, I'm sure you could handle this job of ours.
Well, I don't know. I'm also putting in part-time at the post office.
And what do you do, sort the mail?
No, steam it. I steamed one piece of mail this morning for an hour and a half, and it wouldn't open. Finally discovered it was a postcard.
Cliff, why don't you settle down and stop prying into other folks' affairs?
Why, sure, Cliff. You're too old to be working all day over a hot kettle.
Look, Cliff, all we want you to do is...
Well, I'm too tired to handle it today. I went to a party last night at the old lady's home, and was that a humdinger? Why, it didn't break up till 8:30.
Why, you old night owl.
Why, say, the Ovaltine flowed like water. Maud Toops got so loaded, somebody had to drive her wheelchair.
Oh, my face.
And as for Luella Attleberry, well, I'm not talking.
That's a relief.
What about Luella?
Well, sir, I don't like to brag, but did she make a play for me?
She did.
First she winked at me, then I winked back. She winked at me again. I winked back.
Oh, you was clicking.
Yeah. She winked. I winked.
Yeah? Then what happened?
Nothing. We was both tuckered out from winking.
Look, Cliff, this job ain't going to take a whole lot of strength. All we want you to do is buy us a nice lot from a feller named Frank Randolph.
Randolph? Oh, I bought one of them lots from him this morning.
Sure enough. What did he stick you for?
$50.
$50?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of high, too.
High? Why, no, that's dirt cheap.
Hey, you can't get dirt much cheaper.
Well, I didn't know, and this Randolph said he was new in the business, said he didn't know what to charge.
Grannies, I'll say he don't. Cliff, would you watch the store for a few minutes?
Well, I...
Good. Come on, Abner.
Yeah, I'm coming. Where are we going, Lum?
Over to Randolph's office. All right, Granny, if we can buy a bunch of them lots at that price, we can clean up.
Well, good for us.
And this will give me a chance to finally get even with that varmint Randolph. I knowed if I waited long enough, someday the worm would turn.
Yeah, you sure have. Come on, let's hurry.
And now a brief message from the Ford Dealers of America.
There's a new driving thrill awaiting you at your neighborhood Ford dealers. For you're invited to take the wheel of the big new Ford and test drive it in your own way. Yes, friends, your Ford dealer wants you to experience the luxurious comfort and flashing performance of this truly great car. He wants you to see its beauty and to discover its many safety features. And most of all, he wants you to get the facts about the economy of the new Ford. You'll find that it's low in first cost and high in resale value, thrifty on gas and oil, and inexpensive to maintain. So before you buy any car at any price, drop into your nearest Ford dealers and ask to test drive the 1950 Ford. Once you've felt its riding and driving ease, once you've thrilled to its smooth power and solid roadability, once you've checked it for safety and for economy, you'll agree it's the one truly fine car in the low price field. Make it a point to test drive the big new Ford tomorrow.
Anybody in there?
Yeah, somebody run the adding machine. Hey, maybe that... No, that's Opie Cates.
Opie? Mr. Randolph must have hired him for office boy.
I don't get just look at him working that machine. Well, he's a regular automat.
I hope he ain't adding up all the lots that's been sold so far. There won't be none left.
You reckon other folks is buying them?
Well, they're bound to at that price.
Huh?
I'm glad we're good friends of Opie's. He can get us right into Mr. Randolph's office. Come on.
Yeah.
Say, Opie, we want to see you.
Be with you in a second, boy.
Yes, sir.
I had no idea he knows how to work that thing. He must have been going to night school every day.
Say, Opie, could you stop for just a second?
Yeah, might as well. This thing's no good.
No good? What's the matter with it?
I put over $15 nickels in it and ain't hit the jackpot once.
Well, that ain't no slot machine. It's an adding machine.
It is? No wonder I had such a hard time figuring out where to put the nickels.
Didn't you see them little numbers you was printing up there?
Sure, but I thought that was just my score.
Well, look, Opie, we want you to take us in to see Mr. Randolph right away.
Oh, I can't do that alone.
Yes, you can. Don't friendship mean nothing to you? Who lent you money when you were sick and then come to see you four or five times every day? Wouldn't hardly let you out of their sight.
The Ajax Finance Company.
I don't mean that.
They got me back on my feet, though. The last time they was there, they took the bed right out from under me.
Don't you recollect the time I lent you some money?
I sure do. That's why I switched to Ajax.
Yeah, your race was getting pretty high while I'm holding his little brother that
way. Well, now, look, Opie, here's a couple of dollars.
I told you I wasn't doing business with you no more.
This ain't a loan. It's just to make you change your mind about slipping us in to see Mr. Randolph.
But, Law, maybe we got to get an appointment first.
All right, we'll get one.
Yeah.
Opie, write our name down in that appointment book. That's it on the desk there, ain't it?
Well, I guess so, but gosh, are you sure this is all right, Lum?
Of course it is. What time can you put us down for?
Well, how about 11 o'clock?
Good.
That time is taken.
We've just got to get in there. Here's another dollar. Put our name ahead of everybody else's.
Well, all right. Whatever you say. There you are.
Well, good. Now can you take us in to see him?
Lum, I can't do that.
Why not? You work here, don't you?
Well, gosh, no. I just come in to play the slot machine.
How do you like that? We wasted all that time.
And $3.
Come on, let's get in there.
Yeah.
Yes? What is it?
Oh, my goodness, Miss Pitts.
Bogus, are you working here, too?
No, I'm just waiting for Mr. Randolph to come in.
Why, was you aiming on talking business with him?
If nothing more interesting develops, yes. I'm selling greeting cards to raise money for our new Cub Scout pack.
Oh, yes. Andy told us you was going to be the den mother.
Could I interest you in some cards, Mr. Edwards?
Well, no, you see, I
have some lovely numbers. Now, here's a beautiful graduation day card.
I'd rather not hear it.
You're leaving school today, my son. a reward for your endurance, you'll soon be eligible now to draw your unemployment insurance.
Oh, that's sweet.
Here's a very sentimental one for May Day.
Hey, have you got one in there for Groundhog's Day? There's a little groundhog over by my place, and I'd like to get him something.
Well, now, please listen to this one. Upon your
Miss
door,
Kitt,
I...
if you don't mind, please.
No, I don't mind. Upon your door, I hang a basket of heliotrope and heather. I hang it on hope someday we'll hang one on together.
Oh, that's nice. I don't understand it, but it's awful sweet.
I have a lovely anniversary card that starts out, "Oh, husband dear, I've looked for you the whole wide world over."
Well, don't read it to me.
Oh, dear, I must have lost that husband one someplace. I better go look for it.
Yeah, do that. And if you find it, make a carbon copy of it and then throw both of them away, please.
Well, I'll find it, and I'll be back. Goodbye.
How am I ever going to get that woman to stop thinking marriage is so wonderful?
Marry her. That'll do it quicker than anything I know of.
Well, I ain't going to worry about that now. Let's sit down and wait for Mr. Randolph to show up.
Yeah, all right. Hey, will you lend me a nickel,
Sure, what do you want to do, get a cup of coffee?
No, I thought I'd play the ad machine there.
Thanks, Abner. Get away from that thing. You're as bad as Opie.
All right, doggies, Llama, hit it! Blame it.
All right, you've lost all your winnings. Now, will you quit?
Lomp, if you'll just lend me one more...
No. Wait a minute, there he comes.
Huh?
That's old Frank Randolph, all right.
Howdy, gentlemen. Sorry if I've kept you waiting. Well, for Pete's sake, look who's here.
You recognize me, huh?
Why, sure. Jughead Edwards. How are you anyway there, boy?
Oh, I'm fine. Say, Frank, I want you to shake hands with Mr. Peabody.
Peabody, I'm glad to know you.
Yeah, howdy do you do. I'm Jughead's partner.
Sit down, Lum, and tell me all about yourself.
Well, we can't stay long, Frank. I just come over to see about buying a lot or two from you.
Well, swell. I'll be glad to sell you one. It's a good idea to buy now because I suspect after a while they might go up a little.
Yeah, a little maybe.
Yeah.
I was wondering, Frank, if I could get a whole bunch of them lots.
A whole bunch? Oh, I wouldn't let you do that, Lum. I know you're just trying to help me out.
But I insist, Frank. What are old friends for if it ain't to do them now, or do them a good turn now?
There ain't nobody Lum'd rather give the business to than an old friend.
Well, you'd just be throwing your money away, Lum.
Well, see, I'm trying to get shut of some of it so as I can get into a lower tax bracket.
Lum, if you get any lower, the Internal Revenue Department's going to have to dredge for you.
Be quiet. Oh.
Well, Lum, now the general rule in a deal like this is to sell only one lot to a person.
Oh?
Now, of course, now it'd be different if you were married and had several children. Then I could sell you a lot for each member of your family and, wait a minute. Are you married, Lum?
Well, to be honest,
I... Excuse me, but I found it. Oh, husband dear, I've looked for you.
Husband dear? Why, Lum, you old rascal.
Just a minute here.
I'm glad to meet you, Mrs. Edwards. Let me just shake your hand.
All right, but don't shake me too hard. I don't want to wake up.
No. Oh, Lum never said a word about this. He never even mentioned the subject of marriage.
You have no idea how he avoids that subject.
By golly, I'd love to have been at your wedding.
So would I.
Yes, sir, that's one event I'm certainly sorry that I missed out on.
Well, we'd be glad to run through it again for you.
We would not.
Say, I've got a little camera here, and I'd like to get a snapshot of you two. Stand close together. Put your arms around each other.
Lump, you heard what the man said.
Come on, let's have a big hug.
Yes, sir.
Oh, now look what you've done. You broke my cigars.
Hold still. I got it.
Good. Now I reckon you can sell me two of them lots.
Oh, sure. Tell me, how many children do you have?
None.
Six.
What'd you say?
None. Six.
That makes 12 altogether. There's 12 more lots you can get long.
Well, by golly, Lum, I had no idea you had a family like that.
Well, I'm a little bewildered by it myself.
Tell me, are they boys or girls?
Practically all of them, yes.
Well, I'd sure love to see some of the little tykes.
Say, Lum, I'm looking for Miss... Oh, there you are, Mother.
Mother! Well, you certainly grow them big out here, Lum.
Yeah, he's a big, healthy boy, all right.
They spike his pablum with vigor.
Now, what's going on here, anyway?
Just keep your rompers on, Junior. Daddy will explain it all to you later.
Well, sir, I'm glad to meet you, young man. I'll bet you were a cute little baby.
How much you want to bet?
Let me look at you. Yes, sir, you've got your mother's eyes, but you've got Lum's head.
Well, he don't use it much anyway.
Yes, sir, you've got your dad's nose and your mother's chin.
Hey, when you get down to that stomach, it's all his.
Well, son, tell me, do you manage to keep yourself busy?
Oh, yeah, we're organizing a Cub Scout pack.
Yeah, and I'll bet you'll make a good one, too.
Oh, I'm the leader.
I don't doubt it.
And she's the mother.
Yes, I know.
Oh, and that reminds me, Mother. The reason I come over here was to tell you that you've got 18 boys now.
18? Well, I thought it was 12.
I thought it was 17.
No, we counted them again, and there's 18.
Well, they're kind of hard to keep track of, especially since we got that new vacuum cleaner.
You know, I'd like to get a picture of you three together. I'd like to get one with Sonny sitting on his parents' lap.
It's easier to get one with the parents sitting on Sonny's lap.
Now, Lum, you stand right behind Sonny, and... No, I can't see you there. No, you stand in front of him and have your wife there stand beside you.
Shall we do that hugging one again?
Wait a minute. Lum, did he say your wife?
Yes, Sonny.
Holy smoke, did you two finally get married?
Junior, you better run on to that scout meeting, and Mother, you go with him.
Well, all right. Oh, and goodbye, Mr. Edwards. I enjoyed every minute of our marriage.
That's a great little woman you've got there, Lum. Yes, sir, there's nothing like a family.
Sure, nothing like that.
How many lots does that entitle me to?
Well, that's 18 children. Let me see. And you and the missus, that makes $20 to $50 a piece. Uh-huh. That'll come to $1,000.
Strange. Well, let's see. Abner?
No.
I was just going to ask you to hand me that pen so as I can make out a check.
Oh, well, that's this. Here you are.
All I want you to do is sign it. I'll pay you back out of my profit. Sign right here.
All right. A, B. How do you spell? Oh, yeah, I'll recollect. Yeah. There you are, mister.
Well, that's fine. And here's the receipt for the lot. Sure was good seeing you again. Drop in any time.
Oh, I will. So long, Frank. Come on, Abner. Yeah. We sure put that over, huh?
We sure did, Jughead.
I finally got even with that varmint after all these years. Have you got that receipt there?
Yeah, I was just reading it here.
Oh, I tell you, I was shaking in my boots, scared something would happen. Feared he's going to catch on any minute. How about you? I died 20 deaths in there.
Well, you're all set for every one of them, too. Just look at this receipt.
Huh?
You just bought yourself 20 of the choicest lots in the new Pine Ridge Cemetery.
Here's a short message from your local Ford dealer. It seems as though the whole country is talking about the great 1950 Ford. Listen to what C.W. DeCandrey, a resort owner in Daytona, Florida, one of more than 420,000 delighted new Ford owners, has to say about Ford station wagons.
Our resort has had nothing but Ford station wagons, and I'm convinced that the new 50 model is the best of all. It has the real passenger car comfort, which is important to our guests. And when you take out the rear seats, You have the perfect hauling vehicle. Tell you something else. I think the 50 Ford station wagon has a certain air about it that the others just can't match. It's so easy to keep new looking, too. Just a wash now and then, and you'd think we'd bought a new one.
Ford dealers hear praise like this every day, and they want you to get that fine Ford feel, too. They want you to stop in and test drive the Ford for 50. And while you're there, get the facts on Ford Economy. You'll discover the new Ford is low in initial cost, high in resale value, thrifty on gas and oil, and inexpensive to maintain. Yes, first and last, the new Ford is designed to save you money. See it. Test drive it tomorrow.
Well, howdy, Long. Did you make out with Mr. Randolph? Did he buy your cemetery lot?
Oh, yeah. He's awful nice about it. There's a changed man there, Abner.
Did he give you the $1,000 back?
No, I got something way yonder better than that. He gave me a fourth interest in a rhinestone mine.
See you next week, everybody. This is PBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.